Thank you, Max, for leading us in that very encouraging, uplifting hymn, How Great Thou Art. And amen. Truly, how great our Lord, our God is. And if the Lord wills, tomorrow we are expecting to witness a total solar eclipse. And in anticipating that event, we're going to witness just truly how great our God is. We have an opportunity to witness the marvelous works of God in the much anticipated solar eclipse. And that anticipated event, it does provide us with a unique opportunity to witness God's precision designed universe and solar system in action. As I got to thinking about that, I couldn't help but to think about some of the things that the Bible has to say about the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I want us to take a few moments this afternoon to take some time to go to the Bible, to examine some of the things that the Bible has to say about the sun, the moon, and the stars, to give us a better understanding of God's grand design and His position in creating the solar system. And by the way, did you know that the sun is at the center of the solar system? Did you know that? You see, the sun, it is at the center of the solar system. And astronomers, that is scientists who study the universe and the objects within it, can accurately predict events such as a solar eclipse, which we are anticipating tomorrow, Lord willing. They can also predict with precision a meteor shower. And events like these, they serve as evidence for us that there is a God, that there is a creator of the heavens and the earth, and it serves as evidence of the marvelous works of God, our almighty creator. So with these thoughts in mind, let's take just a few moments this afternoon to open up our Bibles, and let's examine some things that the Bible has to say about the sun, the moon, and the stars, keeping in mind, the more we know about our universe, the more we can recognize and stand in awe of the marvelous works of God. And I begin this afternoon by starting out there in Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings. And here in Genesis chapter 1, we learn about the creation. We learn about God creating the world and the things in it. And there in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 14, we learn about God making the sun, the moon, and the stars. Notice this with me. Here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs in seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Now watch verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 19. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Here we learn in Genesis chapter 1 that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day of creation. But we also learn here in Genesis chapter 1 that God made the sun to rule by day, and He made the moon and the stars to rule by night. You see, the sun, it gives light and warmth to us all. And during the day, we walk in its light and we feel its warmth. And as we learn here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, God made the sun to give light to rule by day. But we also learn that God made the moon and the stars to give light and to rule by night. It's interesting to point out that the moon does not generate its own light. Did you know that? Did you know that the moon, unlike the sun, it does not generate its own light? You see, the moon does not generate its own light. Instead, it reflects the light of the sun. And that's how we are gave light at night. It's also interesting to mention that the stars, they are like miniature suns. Did you know that? Stars, they're like miniature suns. They, unlike the moon, they do burn in their own light. And here we learn in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 16 that God made the sun to rule by day, and he made the moon and the stars to rule by night. Going back there to Psalm 136, turn your Bibles back there with me for a moment there to the 136th Psalm, which Doug so ably read for us a few moments ago. But going back there to the 136th Psalm, as Doug pointed out before he gave us that reading, this psalm is all about thanksgiving to God for his enduring mercy. And indeed, we should be thankful each and every day for the mercy of God. But notice here in verse number 7 of the 136th Psalm. In regard to God, it says to him who made great lights. Verse 8, the sun to rule by day. Verse 9, the moon and the stars to rule by night. Again, we see here, along with Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 35, the fact that God made the sun to rule by day, and he made the moon and the stars to rule by night. It's also important that we recognize that the Bible says that there is only one God who can form the light and create darkness, and who can make the day dark as night. Did you know that? You see, there are some who believe that the total eclipse that we are expecting tomorrow, that it is a sign of the end times. Some of you might have heard that. Some of you might be reading about that. There are some who believe that the total solar eclipse that we're expecting to witness tomorrow, the Lord willing, that it's a sign of the end times. But you want to know something? It's not. It's not. It's not true. And it's not true simply because there have been many total solar eclipse before. And if time continues, there will be many more solar eclipses. It's also not true simply because the Bible says that the day of the Lord will come how? With a sign? Shake your head like this. As a thief in the night. We learn about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in 2 Peter chapter 3. Simply put, there will be no sign of the end times. And we need to be mindful of that. You see, we need to understand that the total eclipse, it is a demonstration of God's marvelous works and his grand design. We need to understand that our solar system, it is an example of fantastic order. And we need to understand that we're going to see a presentation of that tomorrow, the Lord willing, when we witness the total solar eclipse. It will be a presentation of God's fantastic design and order. And although it's not a sign of the end times, you want to know something that total solar eclipse can serve for each and every one of us? It can serve for each and every one of us as a reminder that our God, he is alive. We sung about that this morning, didn't we? Beautiful, uplifting hymn about our God who is alive. And tomorrow's going to be a demonstration of that. It's going to be a reminder to us of the fact that our God, he is alive and he is in control. You see, we learn in Isaiah chapter 45. Turn your Bibles there to Isaiah chapter 45. We learn here in Isaiah chapter 45 the fact that there is one God and that he has complete control. Notice this with me here in Isaiah 45 And let's just begin in verse number 5. Here it's recorded, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you may have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Now pay attention to verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Remember that. You see, only the Lord our God can turn the day to night at will. Did you know that? Only the Lord our God has the power and is in control of turning the day into night. Only the Lord our God, the one true living God that we serve, only He can make the day dark as night. The prophet Amos reminded God's people of old of that very thing in Amos chapter 5 and in verse number 8. And here in the context of Amos chapter 5, we find a call to repentance. God's prophet is pleading with God's people of old to repent. But I want us to specifically notice verse number 8 here in Amos chapter 5. Because here in Amos chapter 8 and verse 5, God's prophet of old is pleading with God's people of old to repent. And to do so, he's talking to them about the one true living God. The one who made the Pleiades and Orion. He says he turns the shadow of death into morning and makes, now watch it, and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the force of the earth. The Lord is His name. Did you catch that? Here the prophet said in reference to the Lord our God that He makes the day dark as night. Only He can do that. Remember that tomorrow. Remember that tomorrow as the moon passes between the sun and the earth, therefore blocking the sun and preventing any sunlight from reaching us. As the day for about 3.5 minutes will turn as dark as night. Remember how that's possible. It's possible. Because our God, He is alive. And He is in control. But also, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. You see, have you ever laid out on the ground and gazed up at the moon and the stars at night? Have you ever done that? It's a beautiful sight, isn't it? It's beautiful to lay out and to at night is to gaze up on a clear night when the stars are out shining. The moon's bright and shining. And you want to know something? That beautiful sight that you're witnessing the glory of God. You're witnessing the glory of God. For as we learned there in the 19th Psalm, go there with me if you will to the 19th Psalm. The fact that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. And here in Psalm 19, let's just begin reading here in verse number 1. But it's recorded, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chambers, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Again, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, and alike declare the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but it amazes me. It amazes me how some can see and witness God's awesome creation and design right in front of them and still have the audacity to say that there is no God. That amazes me. Because we learn there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 that God and we can know that there is a God clearly by the things that he has made. His invisible attributes are proof that there is a God. You see, just looking around, looking up at the heavens, looking up at the sun, the moon, and the stars, serve as proof for us that there is a God. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful that there is a God and that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. I couldn't help but to be reminded of what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 41 in regard to the sun, the moon, and the stars. There in 1 Corinthians 41, in the context there, Paul's talking about the resurrection of the dead. But what Paul's doing here in 1 Corinthians 15, 41 is he's explaining the fact that everything created reflects the glory of God, our Almighty Creator. And he's reminding us of the fact that even the sun, the moon, and the stars, they each have a different glory. Notice this with me here in 1 Corinthians 15, 41. Paul writes, "There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory." Think about that. Again, in the context, Paul's talking about the resurrection. He's making that point there. But the point I want to make is the fact that the sun, the moon, and the stars, they reflect the glory of God, our Almighty Creator. Everything created, including the sun, the moon, and the stars, including that, reflects the glory of God. Remember that. When you look up into the heavens, when you look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, keep in mind that each one have their own glory and they reflect the glory of God. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that the Bible says God commands the sun, seals off the stars, and he alone spreads out the heavens. Did you know that? Job made us aware of that there in Job chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. Again, we can learn here that God, he is in control. He is all-powerful, almighty, in control. But another thing we can learn that the Bible says is when we consider the heavens and the works of God's fingers, they can cause us to wander. Did you know that? Again, I ask the question, have you ever been gazing up at night and looking at the stars and the moon and you begin to wander? Have you? I venture to say that at some point in time, some of us have wondered, how did God do that? How did he do that? Some of us begin to wonder about even the power of God. But you want to know what it caused David to wonder? As he considered the heavens and made him wonder how such a powerful, almighty creator could care so much about mankind like you and I. Notice that with me there in the 8th Psalm. Turn there to Psalm 8. And here in Psalm 8, beginning in verse number 3. Notice these words of David with me. David said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the pass of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Think about that. As David considered the sun, or the moon and the stars rather, as he considered the work of God, he wondered. He wondered in amazement. He wondered in amazement about how such a creator who could make such wonderful things, how he could give such great attention to man. Think about that. You see, just as David was filled with admiration at the greatness of the Creator, who could make such wonderful things by the power of his hand, just as he was overwhelmed at the thought of human beings like he and you and I, how we would be given such great attention from the God of all creation, we too should stand in awe of our Almighty Creator. We need to be mindful of that. And when we look up at the heavens, at the moon and the stars, don't forget that. Don't forget that the same Creator who put that moon and those stars in the sky, he's the same one who cares for you and I. And again, we need to stand in awe of that. But the Bible also says that the sun, moon, and the stars are not to be worshipped. Did you know that? You see, there are some who worship the sun. There are some who worship the moon and the stars. You probably heard about such, right? But the Bible, it tells us to take heed in doing that. Notice that with me there in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 19, notice the instruction to God's people of old. It reads, "And take heed, lest ye lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them." He goes on to say, "which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage." Remember that. You see, while the sun, the moon, and the stars can cause men to wander in amazement, it's important to note that God did not create them to be worshipped. God did not create them to be worshipped. Only He is to be worshipped. And it's important to note that the sun, the moon, and the stars, they are a product of God's hand. And they are not gods nor representations of gods. Remember that. And don't be one who worships the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's also interesting to point out that the Bible says that God appointed the moon for seasons. How about that? Did you know that? We learn about that in Psalm 104, verse 19. And there in Psalm 104, just go ahead and open up your Bible with me there to the 104th Psalm. Notice what we learn here. Beginning in verse number 19. It's recorded, He, that being the Lord our God, appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and they lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Again, God, it is He who made the sun and the moon and the stars. And here we learn that He appointed the moon for seasons. You see, simply put, God made the moon to use to set dates for certain seasons. You see, it's interesting to note that the months of the Jewish calendar, they were started by the moon as it came new. Did you know that? That's how they made the Jewish calendar. And the months in it. It was started as the moon became new. You get a glimpse of that there in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 24 through 27, if you want to check that out later. But here we can see that God, He has such control of the moon that He has appointed it to signal the season of the period called the month. It's pretty interesting, isn't it, Steve? Another thing. The Bible says about the moon, the sun, moon, and the stars. As the Bible says, God counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. We learn about that in Psalm 147 and verse 4. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. I just want you to think for a moment in your mind about how many possible stars there are in our universe. Think for a moment. How many do you think there are in our universe? How many stars do you think there are? You want to know what's interesting? That it has been estimated that there are approximately 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. That's a lot of zeros, isn't it? That's a lot of stars. But you want to know what's even more amazing than that? The Bible says that God counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Let that sink in for a moment. You see, we really don't have any idea. We couldn't even begin to count how many stars there are in our universe. But you want to know something? God knows. He knows. He counts them all. And even more than that, He calls them all by name. You see, this passage in Psalm 147 and verse 4, it clearly expresses the boundless knowledge of God. It clearly expresses the boundless knowledge of God. It expresses just how great our God is. Is. Just as we sung a few moments ago, how great thou art. Again, amen. And I want you to think about something. As you think about those approximate 200 billion trillion stars in the universe, as you think about that saying that sometimes we grow up with as little kids, make a wish upon a star. Have you ever heard that before? I want you to think about something. Why make a wish upon a star when you can pray to the one who created them? Remember that. Never forget that. Don't be making a wish upon a star, but being one who prays to the one who created them. Remembering, as we have talked about this day, Our God, He is alive. And great and marvelous are His works. He is all powerful. He is in control. He is the one who is able to hear and answer our prayers. But another thing that the Bible says about the sun, the moon, and the stars is we learn there in the 148th Psalm that the Bible says the sun, moon, and stars are to praise the Lord. Notice this with me there in Psalm 148. And here in Psalm 148, verse 3 beginning, we read, "Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created." Now some of you may be thinking, how in the world can the sun, the moon, and the stars praise the Lord? They can't speak. How can they do that? You want to know how that's possible? You see, that can be accomplished when they shine in their radiance for His glory and they move according to His plan. Think about that again, thinking about the expectation of tomorrow, if the Lord wills, of seeing that total solar eclipse. You think about the moon moving in front of the sun and blocking the sun from shining its light for a period of time. You think about how that's going to happen according to God's plan and design. Remember the 148th Psalm, where the Bible says that the sun, the moon, and the stars are to praise the Lord. Because that's how they do it. The sun, the moon, and the stars praise the Lord by their splendor and magnificence, which are all regulated according to the ordinance of their Creator, our God. Remember that. But one more thing I want to share with us this afternoon in regard to what the Bible has to say about the sun and the moon. And that is the fact that the Bible says in heaven there is no need for the sun or moon to shine to give light, for the glory of God illuminates it. Notice this with me in Revelation 21. And here in Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse number 23 beginning, it is recorded, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it." Why? Well, notice, "For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it." Verse 25, "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there." Let that sink in. Here, John is telling us in that place we call heaven, there's not going to be any sun or moon there. There's not going to be no need for the sun or the moon to be there, to shine, to give its light. Because the glory of God is going to illuminate it. Let that sink in. Think about that. We often sing the hymn talking about how beautiful heaven can be. We cannot even begin to imagine just how beautiful heaven will be. We cannot even imagine what it will be like to be in the presence of the glory of God. What it will be like to be in a place where there will be no need for the sun or the moon to illuminate it, because the glory of God's going to illuminate it. Try to wrap your mind around that. and be mindful of what verse 24 said. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. That's our desire. Our desire is to someday obtain a home in heaven, where there will be no need for the sun or the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God is going to illuminate it. And we want to be there to walk in it. Remember that. Remember that. And strive to be one who lives a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God, so that you can someday inherit an eternal home in heaven and be in the presence of the glory of God for all eternity. Knowing on the flip side of that coin, if we don't make it to heaven, guess what? We're going to make a direct hit on hell. And you want to know something about hell? It's going to be total darkness. Total darkness. There will be pain and gnashing of teeth. We don't want that, do we? We don't want that. Once more, we can learn a lot about God, our mighty Creator, just by simply reflecting upon and by contemplating His marvelous works. Be mindful of that each and every day. Be mindful of that, if the Lord wills, tomorrow, that we do get to witness that total solar eclipse. Be mindful of the marvelous works of the Lord our God. As we mentioned a moment ago, we all will spend eternity in either one of two places. It'll either be in heaven, a place of eternal bliss, or it'll be in hell, a place of eternal punishment. Now the question is, where will you spend your eternity? Where will you spend your eternity? I want you to seriously contemplate that question for a moment. And if you cannot say with confidence that you're going to spend your eternity in heaven, we plead with you to do what you need to do in order to be saved, so that you too can someday walk in the glory of God. And maybe there is one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember the need to continue to keep on keeping on. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour, while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this afternoon who would accept the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front, while you sing the song of Max's Selection.